All right. Well, we've got a great program today. If you'll recall, a few weeks ago, we had someone from Holly Hall come out. Their chef, Peter Huber, came and gave us some really great ideas about food and recipes and things to make, and gave us a really terrific sample. We've got someone else from Holly Hall today. Rachel Markworth is an occupational therapist at Holly Hall. Works with their participants, with the folks that live there. Also does presentations around town. And we've brought her here today to talk to us about fall prevention and just keeping an idea and looking out for risks in your homes and where you live. And Rachel, thank you very much for being here. We really appreciate it. And she's going to talk to us for a little while. If we have some time at the end, I'll kind of bring up some questions, and maybe y'all can jump in and ask questions too before lunch.
Okay.
Thank you, Rachel, for being here.
All right. Thank you for having me. Like Greg said, my name's Rachel Markworth. I'm an occupational therapist. I have been for almost 20 years now. And almost all of that time has been spent in skilled nursing facilities for the past probably 12 years. And then prior to that, for about 5 years, I worked in the hospital. So that being said, I've seen a lot of people and helped rehabilitate a lot of people who suffered from falls. So, if I'm talking too fast or too loud or anything like that, please let me know. I know Peter, if y'all were here for his presentation, he's a very lively personality and probably have a lot to live up to with him. All right, so I'm going to first start off with a few statistics or facts about falls. I pulled all of this stuff off the internet. None of this stuff is going to be in your packet yet, and I apologize. Susan, who kind of coordinated this, told me there'd be about 25 people here, and we have a little bit more than that, so that's awesome, but there are more copies being made. All right, so just a few statistics or facts about falls. A third of the senior population over the age of 65 falls, and as you get older, that increases with age. By the time you reach 80, about half of the senior population sustains a fall. And that includes 9,500 deaths associated with falls each year. And then falls are the leading cause of death from injury among seniors over the age of 65. And that's my mom's age or close to it. So I know that, you know, most of us with the yoga, that's great. So hopefully the more information and knowledge we have, we can prevent those things. All right. So I'll give you a few more statistics. 87% of all fractures in the elderly are due to falls, and 2/3 of those who fall will do so again within the next 6 months. So as you fall once, your probability of falling again goes up. When an older person falls, his or her hospital stays are almost twice as long as those of older patients who are admitted for any other reason. And then among people aged 65 to 69, one out of every 200 falls results in a hip fracture. And then that number increases to one out of every 10 for those ages 85 and older. And then also 1/4 of seniors who fracture a hip from a fall die within 6 months. So let's have some prevention, fall prevention. That's why I'm here to talk to you about. All right. So what are some causes of falls or risk factors? Some are associated with normal aging. That would be decreased vision, decreased hearing, decreased reflexes. Some could be as a side effect of a medical condition, diabetes. If you're having tingling or numbness or decreased sensation in your feet when you're walking, hypothyroid or hypothyroid. Osteoporosis could lead to brittle bones. With Parkinson's, you could have an increased shuffling of gait. And then, of course, any other number of medical conditions. And then on the flip side of that, your medications that you take for those medical conditions could increase your risk of fall. That could be dizziness, sleepiness, confusion, anything that might be a side effect associated with that medication. So we're kind of in a we're kind of in a no-win situation here so far. So things that you can prevent falls for, unsafe footwear. That would be, you always want to wear something that has a good rubber sole on the bottom and a back on it, because any backless shoes or high heels could lead to foot problems, which could cause a fall. All right, so how do we prevent falls? That all being said, and I will say that, and safety hazards would be another risk factor or increase your risk of falling. That's what I handed you out, so we'll go over that in a few minutes. And all of these things also I pulled off the internet, so you can just Google home safety for seniors or anything like that and find any number of information or tips for you. All right, so how are we going to prevent falls now that we know what causes them? Staying physically active, which your yoga today was great. So regular exercises improves muscles and makes you stronger. It helps keep your joints, tendons, and ligaments flexible. Mild weight-bearing activities such as walking or climbing stairs may slow bone loss from osteoporosis. And the recommended amount of exercise each week would be 150 minutes a week, which breaks down to about 20 minutes of exercise a day. And I did also include some exercise program, just a general exercises that you can do at home. So we can go over that in a little bit. Okay, talking about normal age-related processes, having your eyes and ears tested, because even small changes in sight and hearing may cause you to fall. When you get new eyeglasses or contact lenses, take time to get used to them. Always wear your glasses or contacts when you need them. And if you have a hearing aid, make sure the batteries are in, number one, or you have spare batteries, and then make sure it fits well. And the last step, actually wearing them, your glasses. Finding out about the side effects of any medicine you take, and that can be with your, regular visit to your doctor. Will be able to tell you or your pharmacist about the side effects related to your medications. Getting enough sleep, an important one. If you're sleepy, you're going to be more likely to fall. Again, related to your diet, limiting the amount of alcohol you drink. Even a small amount of alcohol can affect your balance and reflexes. Studies show that the rate of hip fractures in older adults increases with alcohol use. And along with alcohol use also comes smoking. I know not very many of us smoke anymore. Luckily for me, I have two boys aged 9 and 10, and they think smoking is disgusting, which is great. But I know some of the older population, who have been smoking for years, still smokes. But smoking and alcohol can both decrease your bone mass, which can make your bones more brittle. And if you were to fall, you'd be more likely to fracture a bone. So standing up slowly, this is another one. Hypertension or hypotension, anytime you do a transitional movement, so that would be from laying in the bed to sitting up or sitting to standing, you have what's called postural hypertension. If you have been laying in the bed for a long time, you're more at risk for orthostatic hypotension, which means that during those transitional movements, your blood pressure drops, which can cause you to get dizzy, which could lead to a fall. So standing up slowly is the tip. Getting up too quickly could cause your blood pressure to drop or make you feel wobbly. So if you're checking your blood pressure at home, you might want to check it when you're lying down and then again when you sit up. Let's see. Using an assistive device if you need help feeling steady when you walk. And that's something that a therapist can help you with. Always with therapy, we want to use prevention as key. You don't want to wait until you actually fall to get therapy. If you start feeling weak, say you're having a harder time getting up from the toilet or a harder time getting out of bed or a harder time bending over to tie your shoelaces, something like that, you want to go to your doctor and ask for a therapy order before you get too weak and then you're at a higher risk for fall with that weakness. So The appropriate use of canes or walkers can prevent falls. If your doctor tells you to use a cane or walker, make sure it's the right size for you and the wheels roll smoothly. This is important when you're walking in areas you don't know well or where the walkways are uneven. And then a PT or OT can help you decide which other devices might be helpful. Occupational therapists especially have all sorts of fun equipment to help you be more independent. That's our entire lot in life and goal, is to make our patients more independent. And safety is definitely key. I know a lot of the older population use the rollator walkers, which are the ones with the seat and the four wheels, which those are great, but they are very unsteady. So you do have to have a good amount of balance to use those rollator walkers. The regular walkers like this with the wheels on the front and the tennis balls on the back usually are much more stable. So that's where a therapist can help you or your doctor can help you decide which piece of equipment might be the right one for you. Although I do really like the ones with the seats and the wheels for if it's an endurance issue, because if you're walking a long distance and you get tired, those are really great to push up against the wall, put your brakes on, and sit down. So there's pros and cons to both, but having somebody help you figure out which one is right for you is always a great idea. There's also, we used to always recommend these, they're called hipsters, but that has a completely different meaning than it did about 15 years ago. So they're just little pants that you slide on under, or shorts underneath your clothing that have padding over the hips, like a memory foam type padding. So that might, you might want to consider that too, especially for those of us who don't have as much padding on your bones, because then if you were to fall, that would take the majority of the shock from the fall and hopefully prevent a fracture. All right. Next one, being careful when you're walking on wet surfaces. This also includes icy, but I know at least we don't have to deal with that here. But wet surfaces can be very slippery, and I cannot tell you how many people that I've had that I've treated that have slipped on some water in their kitchen or water in the bathroom. More often than not, the falls are related to kind of a fluke accident, you know, walked out to the mailbox and tripped over something, or slipped on the kitchen and on some water or something like that. The majority of falls are going to be from mechanical falls, actually falling, rather than a pathological fracture, which can happen when your bones are brittle and they just break. Let's see. Wearing non-skid or rubber-soled low-heeled shoes that fully support your feet. So you don't want anything that is going to be too thin or thick on the soles. And don't walk on stairs and floors in socks or in shoes and slippers with smooth soles. So you want to make sure, you know, I'm sure if you've been to the hospital or visited somebody in the hospital, you always have to put on those non-skid socks. And the other flip side of that is making sure the non-skid is on the bottom and pulled up. So even if you're wearing the non-skid socks and they're all twisted around, then they're not going to be effective. So that is very important. Let's see. And then always tell your doctor if you've fallen since your last checkup, even if you aren't hurt when you fall. Because a fall can alert your doctor to a new medical problem or problems with your medications or eyesight that could be corrected. And then at that time, your doctor may suggest physical therapy or an assistive device to help you prevent future falls. And one other thing is maintaining a healthy weight, because if you are on the thinner side and underweight, then that's going to put you at a risk for increased bone loss and broken bones when you do fall, because you just don't have quite as much padding. And then what you can do to increase your bone strength is taking calcium or a vitamin D supplement. All right. So now that we've got through all of that, what to do if you do fall? I would suggest to everybody that, because again, from personal experience, having patients that this has happened to, They fall, and then either they can't get to the phone, and they end up either lying on the floor for several days until somebody finds them, or they end up crawling their way to the phone, and then injuring themselves more. So if you do have a cell phone, I would always suggest keeping it on you at all times. Another option, if you don't have a cell phone, would be a life alert or a call button to wear on your wrist or around your neck to push the button if an emergency does occur. All right. So what to do if you do fall? If you're at home or somewhere else, a sudden fall can be startling and upsetting. If you do fall, important, stay as calm as possible. Your adrenaline's going to be pumping. You're going to be upset. Try to remain calm. Take several deep breaths to try to relax. Remain still on the floor or ground for a few minutes to help get you over the shock of the actual fall. And then decide if you're hurt before getting up. Getting up too quickly or in the wrong way can make your injury worse. Rule of thumb, if you do have your phone on you, call 911 and let the EMS or the EMTs come and help you up off the floor. If you don't think it's serious, then if a family member is available, they can help you up as well. But I would always, when in doubt, and this goes for anything, regardless of falls or anything, trust your gut and trust your instinct, and just call somebody that can help you. If you do think that you can get up safely without help, this is one technique to do. Roll over onto your side. Rest again while your body and blood pressure adjust. Again, we're talking about blood pressure. Slowly get up on your hands and knees and crawl to a sturdy chair. And then you could use the armrest of the chair to help you get up. Put your hands on the chair seat. Slide one foot forward so that's flat on the floor. Keep the other leg bent so that the knee is on the floor. And then from the kneeling position, slowly rise and turn your body to sit in the chair. Again, if you're hurt or can't get up on your own, ask someone for help or call 911. And if you're alone, get in a comfortable position and wait for help to arrive. All right. And again, don't let your fear of falling keep you from enjoying life. Staying active is what's going to prevent you from falling. Along with falls come, you're not being as mobile after a fall, so then that's going to put you at risk for a myriad of other things, pneumonia, blood clots, bed sores, when you're laying in bed and you're not active as much. So it is extremely important to get that 150 minutes of exercise a week. All right, so the last thing we talked about, risk factors for falling, is home safety or safety hazards. So I did include a home safety assessment in that information that you can all go home and do at home. So we'll go over that next. Let's see. And this one was a little bit more basic than the other ones that I had, so I thought that that might be a little bit better. If you are getting therapy, there's lots of different types of therapy. If you're able to drive, or have transportation, which most of us do, outpatient therapy is a great place to go. There are physical and occupational therapy clinics, probably multiple ones within a couple miles of all of your homes. They're all over the place. The other option, if you're bedbound, is having home health come out. And if home health does come out to your house, they can do this home safety assessment at your home. Typically, to qualify for home health, you would have a medical condition that would precipitate that, like a blood pressure, because the nurse would also be coming out, checking your blood pressure, checking your blood sugar, all of those kinds of things. And I will say that a lot of doctors now will make house calls, or they have nurse practitioners that can come out and do some of that stuff for you. Things are changing in the medical world. They want to keep people out of the hospitals if they can, which is a great thing. But because of that, you have all of these new resources available to you, like a nurse practitioner to come out and check your blood sugar, check your blood pressure. They even have the emergency rooms that will, or emergency services that will come to you to prevent you from having to go to the emergency room. They can do IVs, they can do wound care, they can do x-rays. You just have so many resources or options available to keep you out of the emergency room right now. All right, so this I pulled from, I think it's from the CDC. So a couple of statistics that we already talked about, and this is older because it's from 1996, but more than 8,500 people over age 65 died because of falls. Falls are often due to hazards that are easy to overlook but easy to fix. This checklist will help you find and fix those hazards. All right, so this kind of goes through and breaks down different areas. The floors in your house. So as you're going through your house and looking at the floor, do you have to walk around furniture? We have patients all the time that are furniture walkers. They're not using a walker to walk around with. They're grabbing onto whatever, the wall or the couch or the chair. We don't want you to do that. The less clutter, the better. You need to be able to walk safely down the hallway or you know, behind the couch, whatever it may be, without having a bunch of stuff in the way. So if you are finding yourself that you have to hold on to the furniture, then moving the furniture so your path is clear would be a great idea. Do you have throw rugs on the floor? Throw rugs are beautiful. I have a lot in my house, actually, because my 10-year-old dog has the human equivalent of ALS, so he's losing the use of his back legs, so he can't hold himself up on the tile or wood floors. So we have a lot of rugs in our house, but as an older adult, as a therapist, we do not recommend throw rugs in the house. And if you do have them, you want to make sure that they're secured to the floor with some double stick tape or something that's not gonna move, or that you're not gonna get your toe or foot stuck under and trip over. So that was I answered my own question. Are papers, magazines, books, shoes, boxes, blankets, towels, or other objects on the floor? Basically just keeping the clutter to a minimum as much as you can. All right, do you have to walk over or around cords or wires, like cords from lamps, extension cords, or telephone cords? If so, tape them to the wall if you can so that you don't trip over them, or possibly have an electrician put in another outlet. You don't want to have any cords in the way to trip over. If you have stairs or steps, pick up things on the stairs. Always keep objects off the stairs. If you have broken or uneven steps, you know, fixing them. Are you missing a light over the stairway? Have a handyman or electrician put in an overhead light at the top and bottom of the stairs. Lighting is very important from preventing falls. If a light has burned out, having somebody change the light bulb. Do you only have one light switch for your stairs, at the top or the bottom? If you can, put a light switch at the top and the bottom of the stairs and get light switches that glow. Will help. I would also mention on the steps, you could, they sell some fluorescent tape or putting something very bright to mark the stairs so that you know where they are. And that would go for the threshold over the door as well. If you painted another color or put some brightly colored tape so that you can see where it is, because that would be a big tripping hazard. All right, and then handrails. Fixing loose handrails or putting in new ones, making sure handrails are on both sides of the stairs would be optimal. And then if you have carpet on the steps, make sure the carpet's firmly attached to every step, or remove the carpet and attach non-slip rubber treads on the stairs. Kitchen. Are things you use often on high shelves? Moving items in your cabinet. This is goes not only for fall prevention or home safety, but also as energy conservation and body mechanics. Everything is very entwined. If you're keeping things that you're using more frequently on the shelves where you can just reach and grab them, as opposed to reaching up or reaching down, which is going to use a lot more energy on your muscles. So keeping things that you use frequently at your arm's reach is always a great idea, not only for fall prevention, but also for energy conservation. Also, if you have any kind of back pain or back issues, keeping those things at arm's reach is very important. And then is your step stool unsteady? Get a new steady step stool. I don't know who has a step stool, but I may not recommend a step stool on here. Bedrooms. Looking at, is the light near the bed hard to reach? Placing a lamp close to the bed where it's easy to reach, and then putting in a nightlight so you can see where you're walking. Some nightlights go on by themselves after dark. That's just a very simple thing, a simple change that you can do, home modification, that could really make a big difference. All right, bathrooms. This is a big one. Is the tub or shower floor slippery? If the answer is yes, putting a non-slip rubber mat or self-stick strips on the floor of the tub or shower. Also, as far as home modifications go, again, for safety and for energy conservation and for if you have any kind of back or medical issues, having a chair to sit down or a stool in your shower is always a good idea. You know, even more so if you've had a fracture or have difficulty stepping over your tub, you don't have a walk-in shower. There's also a shower bench that will come out over it. You sit it in the tub, but it comes out over the edge of the tub so that you could just back up to it and then one leg at a time kind of scoot over into the bathroom. Unfortunately, a lot of times insurance does not cover these items. So something like a garage sale or your church is a great place to get this equipment. Or you don't even have to. You can improvise. Those molded plastic like lawn chairs or outdoor chairs work really well. They fit nicely in the tub. And as long as you have that non-skid on the bottom of the tub, that's a very inexpensive way to put a seat in the shower. And then if you're neat, and grab bars are always a great idea if you need them. So putting grab bars inside the tub and next to the toilet. Grab bars are fairly inexpensive. You can buy them at Home Depot or Lowe's, and then any handyman that you have will, or if you're handy yourself, they're fairly easy to put in. All right, so other things you can do to prevent falls. We talked about all of this. So I'm going to skip over all of this. Okay, I think that's it for that. And then the other thing that I included would be your exercises. As far as the arm exercise, any of these exercises that I gave you, you could do them sitting down would be the safest, or standing. The pictures show people using a hand weight. If you don't have access to hand weights at home, you can use anything around the house. That could be a water bottle, a can of vegetables, a bag of beans, any kind of small weight. And as that gets too easy for you, things you can do if you start out doing 10 or 15 repetitions of each exercise, if it starts to get too easy, you increase the number of repetitions. So say you go from doing 10 repetitions of each exercise to 15 repetitions of each exercise. If that gets too easy, then you do multiple sets. So you go through all the exercises once, then you go through them all again. That's what's going to increase your endurance. So increasing the amount of weight or increasing the amount of repetitions is going to increase your strength. And then increasing the number of sets will increase your endurance. And I will always tell my patients that you don't have to make exercising difficult. If you're watching TV, I had a patient just over the weekend. I worked at Memorial Hermann. And I will always suggest to them, when one patient was watching Wheel of Fortune, or she said she loved to watch Wheel of Fortune. So every time a commercial comes on, just keep your little weight by the recliner or where you're sitting and just do a couple of exercises while the commercial's on. And if you just do that all the time, you don't have to do all the exercises all at once. Just doing a couple at a time when the commercial comes on will be a good way to incorporate it into your daily routine so that it's not becoming a burden to do the exercises all the day, every day. And then the lower extremity exercises that I included on there are all standing, which is fine. But any of those exercises that you do could also be done from a chair or from a sitting position. So just remember that. If your balance is great, it's always a good, you know, always make sure you're holding on to something sturdy, which I would say about a kitchen countertop or a bathroom countertop or a chair could move. So while that's still okay, I would still recommend a counter or a table that's not going to be as easily moved if you are doing some of the exercises in standing. And one of those exercises on the lower extremity exercise are squats. And so I will note this because I tell ever since I went to this continuing education class about 6 months ago, I've told every single patient that they said the number one thing that you can do to prevent ending up in a nursing home is doing this one exercise. And it's on your sheet for the lower extremity, and that is going to be the squats. So that would just be holding on to the counter and then just squatting down. You don't, if you have problems in your knee, you can just go down as far as you can. But that is the most, I was surprised that was the a patient's ability to do that one exercise was the number one predictor of staying out of the nursing home. And the reason why is because those are the muscles that you're using in order to stand up from a chair or stand up from the toilet or something like that. So your ability to do that one exercise can keep all of you out of the nursing home, hopefully. And the other one I really like to do that's not on there would be if you are sitting in a chair with armrest on it, would be just pushing up on the armrest like you're going to go to get out of the chair. You don't have to stand up all the way, but just enough to clear your bottom up off the seat. We call those chair push-ups. So the chair push-ups, if you don't do any other exercises, the squats and the chair push-ups are two that I would really recommend. And along with the lower extremity exercises, if you do have some cuff weights or little ankle weights or wrist weights that attach, they're very inexpensive. You can get them at Target, Walmart, probably Walgreens, Marshalls, TJ Maxx, probably even the grocery store sometimes. That's a great way to add strengthening to your lower extremity exercises. If you do find yourself in the position to you end up in the hospital from a fall, just keep in mind you have my card. Obviously, you can email me, and then I do have an extension, but it won't fit on my business card. But it's extension 282 at Holly Hall. If you need that extension. I would love to hear from y'all, either email or by phone if you have any questions. And then other than that, just keep my card. Keep it in your wallet if you do find yourself in the hospital, which hopefully most of you will not. But if you do, it's always good to have a plan of where you would like to go when you do get there. Because otherwise, they're going to send you to where they're going to give you several choices. And, of course, as patients, we have choices, but they're going to give you a couple choices that they send all of their patients to. So if you have if you want to go somewhere else, then keep my card and tell them you want to go to Holly Hall because we would love to see you there. I will say as a side note, I'm the director there right now. I won't be for very much longer. I'm cutting back my hours so that I can spend more time with my kids who are 9 and 10, so I think they're about to the age where they're not going to be wanting to hang out with my husband and I for that much longer, so cutting back on my hours a little bit to spend more time with them. So if you do call and you don't get me, it'll be someone else. But, and then also, one more thing, I could just keep on talking forever. This is a book that you can find at the grocery store or even online, and it will have independent living, assisted living, memory care, home health. It will have almost every facility in Houston on here, and they come out every quarter. So I have this old ones I have summer and fall from 2018, but every quarter or every season they come out, and that will give you a list of all of the, it'll be by area. So depending on where you live, you can always find somewhere close to you. And I would definitely suggest if you have a family member or a friend or yourself visiting the facility to decide the right fit for you before something happens again. So, all right, that's it.
All right, Rachel, thank you.
You're welcome. Thank you.
Hey, I had a couple questions.
Sure.
As they kind of get ready for lunch for us. The first question is, as an occupational therapist, I hope you have an answer for this, but you may not. Maybe it's just so case by case that there's not an answer for this. But if you feel like you're about to fall,
mm-hmm.
is there something you can do with your body mechanics to maybe prevent there being a bad injury or as bad as it might be?
Yeah.
I know grab onto something is probably, but if you just feel like you're going down, you're collapsing, is there a way that you can turn your body or anything like that that might reduce the possibility of?
I do think it would be case by case and depending on where you are. If you can avoid it, which I know in the moment, it's very hard to do, but if you can avoid falling directly on your wrist, that's a great thing. If you can think about it and tuck your arm, it's better to fall on your arm than falling directly on your wrist, which could you could have a wrist fracture too. If you're close to a piece of sturdy furniture, obviously hold on to that. If you're close to the wall, if you could possibly break your fall with the wall or slide down the wall. I know in the moment it's going to be hard. I don't think I'm telling you this, and if I were to fall, then I may not do all of these things that I'm telling you to do. But no, I think any kind of just trying to break your fall. And because, again, if you fall, you hit your, you know, fall on your hip, you're at risk for a hip fracture. If you fall on your head, you're at risk for a bleed in the brain. If you fall directly on your wrist, you're going to be at risk for a wrist fracture. So none of them are good options, but I would definitely try to break your fall. If there's a way to do that, then that would be the best case scenario.
No, that's good. And the other thing that I wanted to mention, and by the way, did everybody get the documents? If not, there's some more on the back where Glenda is sitting. She will hand those out to y'all. If there is something in your home that you feel like you need to change, whether it's a ramp or a handhold, our construction team can help you with that.
That's
so
awesome.
If you do have a question or something that you feel like you need in your house to make it more safe, just let me know and we'll get the construction team out there to help you with that. And then the other thing that I've found, a couple of people in particular have told me that kind of led to their fall, is ironically, because it's because these people are so Christ-like that this has led to this, but they've tried to help other people. Mm-hmm. Like they're trying to hold the door for them,
mm-hmm.
or they're trying to let them go first, mm-hmm. or to help somebody down the stairs, and then they end up falling.
Mm-hmm.
Do you, and I know that's probably really difficult to tell people, hey, stop helping others, but sometimes that leads to falls as well.
You do want to, If you're able to help, if you feel strong enough to help, that's great. If you're feeling weak or not feeling well that day or don't think that you're going to be able to help, please don't feel bad about not opening the door. There's going to be somebody coming behind you that's going to be able to help. So, yeah, we all know our bodies more than anybody else. So, do not feel bad about not helping. Mm-hmm. Yes.
What is the right way to help somebody up out of the chair or help somebody in a sitting position?
So another important thing to do that I did not mention is, I mentioned it briefly, but not in this regard, would be, you know, using proper body mechanics. So if you're sitting in a chair at home, you want to make sure that we call it the 90-90-90. So if you're sitting in a chair, you want to make sure that
Your hips are at a 90-degree angle, your knees are at a 90-degree angle, and then your feet are flat on the floor at also a 90-degree angle, which mine are not quite touching the floor if I sit all the way back. So it's 90, 90, 90 as far as body mechanics. If your chair is going to be too high, you want to have the patient scoot forward in the chair before you help them out of the chair. Scoot to the edge. As far as they can, and then use their arms to push up. If they're needing a little bit more assistance than that, then using a gait belt is a great idea. It's very inexpensive, and again, an item that you can purchase anywhere. Like, say it's your elderly neighbor or friend. Again, I would, unless you are feeling capable or you've seen it done before, you may not want to. But you would want to have the patient scoot to the edge and then use their arms to help push themselves up. And then if not, then using that belt and then holding the belt and kind of assisting them up would be a good idea. And again, as far as your furniture goes at home, choosing a chair to sit in that has the armrest on the side. They actually have lift chairs that are like a recliner, but with a remote attached, and it will help you get to a standing position. I would always avoid a low or soft furniture. That goes for, that's especially important for people with back pain or back problems. Sitting in a, you know, the lower down it is, then the harder it is going to be to get up from. So I would always, the optimal position would be sitting in a chair with some good armrest that's high enough up to help you stand, because just as kind of a rule of thumb, and this goes for your bed as well at home, the higher up it is, the higher the surface is, the easier it's going to be to stand up. That's why sometimes if you're in therapy or you're in a hospital bed, the therapist will raise up the bed so that it's easier to stand. The lower down to the ground it is, the harder it is going to be to sit up or get up out of the bed. And bed riser, you know, they have the risers that you can put under furniture if that will work to help raise it up. So we've used those risers on some beds and chairs to raise them up. Also, the obviously the box springs, you can remove them if they're too high, or leave them to make it easier to get up out of the bed. So yeah, the rule of thumb would be scooting. You know, the process would be just scooting your bottom to the edge, and then using your arms to help you stand up.
Any other questions for Rachel? Oh, yes, we do. Okay, Al.
I was looking at your watch. And in the last week, I've had two family and friends on Facebook tell me that they had either themselves or friends who their new, I guess, Apple watches detected a cardiac problem and sent them to the hospital.
Yep.
And I was wondering if you'd heard about that technology, because I had not.
Yes, I just read an article yesterday that the Apple Watch, you can set it to detect a hard fall. So it was somebody's dad, who I believe was riding a bicycle, had a hard fall. The phone sent the GPS location and the EMT and alerted him as well to the fall. So he was already en route to the hospital after the fall by the time he got the alerts. And then it does, there is a setting on here that you just put your finger over the button on the phone and it will do a little monitor of your heart. Now, there's a disclaimer, and yes, I would not, if your watch says, you know, something, it's good to get it checked out, but they, of course, Apple doesn't want to be liable for telling you you're having a heart attack and then you're not. I will say that my husband had kind of some heart issues about a year ago, and his watch, when he did it, did say that his heart rate was a little abnormal. So obviously, it's best to get it checked out by a doctor if any questions, but the watch is a great tool to have as far as detecting a fall or, and also, you know, if depending on which watch you have, you know, you could call from, you could call 911 from your watch as well. So,
I'm
just wondering if it was everything you read on Facebook or something is not true.
That is very true, but no, I have, yeah, I have seen that, that it can detect, you can set it to detect a fall, and there, and it will monitor your heart. Yep.
Speaking of 911, we have incidents in our neighborhood where when you call 911, they can't get in the house. And so you really need to have an outside key. Somewhere where you can tell when you call 911. Otherwise, they're going to break in your house.
Yeah, I think that's a great idea. And I will say, I talked about this briefly, but it's a new service that they've been advertising, and I've heard presentations multiple times, but it's called Dispatch. And it's like a little emergency room on wheels that they will come to you, and they're able to give you IVs, do wound care, do x-rays if you think you've had a fracture. So that's another great option. But yes, I think that's great, being able to keep a key somewhere, or you may, or depending on how bad you are or how bad you're feeling, you may or may not be able to tell them when you call 911 that where a key is or something. I know. And a lot of times now you get the fire department first, before you get an ambulance. So.